This is Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. Increased rail traffic throughout the Upper Midwest have caused lawmakers, first responders, and the public to voice their concerns over rail safety. And with several derailments taking place in the last 6 months, more people are asking whether enough is being done to ensure safety. Joining us in studio are Senator Jennifer Schilling, La Crosse Fire Chief Greg Cleveland, and Alan Stankovitz, a member of the group Citizens Acting for Rail Safety. In the past 6 months, we've seen several train derailments in this area. Back in November, there was a derailment near Alma with ethanol leaking into a wildlife and fish refuge. And that same weekend, there was a derailment of, you know, crude oil in Watertown. And back in January, we also saw a derailment in Brownsville, Minnesota, with soybean oil being leaked into the Mississippi. I mean, is this a pretty average number of derailments for this area, Alan?
Well, for the nation, let's put it this way: the PHMSA pipeline, has said basically that there should be 6 major derailments with crude oil annually across the United States. That's what they expect. So, for our area to have this many, it's probably common. Let's not forget that besides the ones close to home, we have others not too far south of here, such as Galena, in which there was a major oil explosion from an oil train, as well as an ethanol spill just north of Dubuque. So besides our immediate area, there are accidents that are happening across the country and the Midwest, and there's nothing that's really changed that will prevent these from happening in the future.
And Senator Schilling, I mean, has rail safety always been a concern for this area, or do you think that it's really become prevalent in the last couple years?
Well, I think certainly in the last couple years, the attention and the education has really increased. We are seeing more of the cars coming from the Bakken oil field, so I think that was probably one of the first issues, but also we've been talking about infrastructure for a long time and what needs to happen for safety. But certainly with the discussion and then the second rail that came through La Crosse and the group cars was formed, which really did, I think, heighten the community's awareness of rail safety, but also then partnering with law enforcement, with the hazardous material or hazmat teams, as well as the railroad, to spark that discussion of some needed safety and training that was necessary when that second line came through, but also some recent law changes that heightened to access issues and crossing the railroad and trespassing for fishing and hunting. And as I looked at this last session, we have at least 6 different bills that were introduced by legislators, some here in the La Crosse area, in response to some of the concerns about a need for improved inspectors along the way, the trespassing and access issue, as well as some enforcement with the railroad company and their own sort of law enforcement and rail police that they have. So I think we certainly have seen a heightened discussion about rail traffic, but there are many components to it. It's the safety, it's access, it's infrastructure.
And I definitely want to get back to some of those legislative pieces later in the conversation. But, you know, Chief Cleveland, has the increased traffic kind of changed the way that the La Crosse Fire Department is thinking about being prepared for rail incidents?
It has had a very positive effect on us. And, it's interesting to see the evolution of hazardous materials transported by rail. You know, the fire service got into this in the 1970s because, quite frankly, there was no other organization, public organization, that was even remotely close to being able to handle this. And it was a lot of trial by error, as we see a lot of the derailments occur. You know, we go back to where an entire fire department was basically killed from the Kingman, Arizona derailment, and we've been steadily making improvements, but not at the pace that the market has demanded us to. And that evolution continues today because since coming to La Crosse in 2006, we have been very concerned about rail traffic, not just Bakken crude oil, but you've got chlorine, you have liquid petroleum gas, liquid natural gas. You literally have hundreds of thousands of tons of hazardous materials that moves through La Crosse every single day. And really, from our perspective, you know, what's the devastation from, for example, an LPG car that goes off the track, or a Bakken crude oil that explodes and goes off the track. I think the really big difference is that this local awareness has caught the eye of Burlington Northern Santa Fe, and it's caught the eyes of other railroad companies, and I think it's really kind of made them take up and try to at least start to absorb a little bit of the cost for first response. When I look at it, to me, I think that's the biggest challenge for local, county, and state governments is that from a public policy standpoint, this is what we would call a market failure. Because again, the transportation, the use, transportation, and response is not covered by, is not all-inclusive in the cost to the consumer. And all of those costs for preparation, for response, and cleanup are basically put on local communities, and the question always begs, who really should be the financer of this issue? I compare it to the issue of smoking. We saw the effects and the cost of millions of dollars that health-related costs were put on local governments and insurance companies, and eventually we turned that tide and have made significant advances. And to me, I see this as the same issue. And I think that the transporters, users, and even users need to step up and absorb more of the real cost of transporting hazardous materials across, not only through La Crosse, but across the country.
And do you think that this, you know, this cost that's kind of falling on local communities, as you say, do you think it's put small communities that are along the Mississippi, along the rail in western Wisconsin, at a disadvantage?
Well, there's no question that it is. Number one, they don't have the time, they don't have the effort, and we're talking some of these volunteer departments and these volunteers. I mean, they're so dedicated to their job, they have so much training that they have to do. Just to stay current on structural firefighting. You know, throw on top of that levy limits to where the legislature has said that, you know, you can't spend more than what your growth is, and you can see that a lot of these communities are not growing. And, you know, just their demand for town roads or for city roads and for the other things that are going on in the community, there's no room in this area to provide them any sort of training, let alone equipment, or any anything else they need to deal with this yet. But it keeps rolling every 20 to 30 minutes. You see it roll through their community, and that's one of the reasons why we've gone to a regional approach in terms of hazardous materials in Wisconsin, and that certainly has been the right direction to go.
You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. Today we're talking about rail safety in Wisconsin and neighboring states. We're here with Senate Minority Leader Jennifer Schilling, Chief Greg Cleveland with the La Crosse Fire Department, and CARS member Alan Stankovitz. And, you know, Senator Schilling, we've been talking kind of about jurisdiction and how that, I know that's always kind of an issue when talking about the railroads that, you know, dealing with the Federal Railroad Administration, but also, you know, what can the state do to also ensure rail safety? Can you kind of characterize what the relationship with railroad companies has been in Wisconsin?
Well, I certainly think communities probably think that they don't have a lot of bargaining power with the rail companies, that there's a tremendous lot of power that the rail companies have. And if it's, you know, the authority here in Wisconsin is, then you look at the Federal Rail Administration and sort of the federal authority compared to state authority, and then the authority and the power that the railroad companies have. But I think by bringing to attention, citizens literally got out in kayaks and canoes and took pictures of some of the infrastructure and the crumbling bridges, brought that to the attention of the railroad company, and they stepped forward and have been improving bridges along the way. When there was discussion with the second rail coming through the city of La Crosse, and as you had indicated, some of the challenges with resources, that there was an ask of the railroad company to help pay for training of firefighters and EMS and emergency personnel and equipment if it was a foam truck that was needed. But certainly in these smaller communities where they are volunteer firefighters and EMS, you can't have enough chicken queues and pancake breakfast to pay for the training and equipment that is needed. And so I have continued to ask the railroad companies to be good neighbors along the river and these communities to help out and offer training, but also we'll get to the trespassing issue about sort of being a good neighbor and some of the changes that have happened recently with enforcement with that. So there have been some steps that we have, I think, been pleased that the railroad company has stepped up, but there is a lot more that we could be doing. And in Wisconsin, some of the legislation was asking for additional rail inspectors within the Office of Railroad Commissioner. That office is charged with safety here in Wisconsin, and if we need some additional safety measures in place, asking railroad companies to have a notice, sort of a docket for those communities when hazardous material is being transported, so that the powers that be in these communities would know what is being transported. Also to have an emergency plan on file with the Office of Railroad Commissioner, and so looking to make sure that, you know, someone is the master of disaster if something happens here in the state of Wisconsin, and we know that coordination that would happen. And not to say that many of these local communities and law enforcement and emergency response people and emergency government people are not doing tabletop exercises. They certainly do that. But I think there certainly is a role for all of us to make sure that we can be the eyes and the ears of safety here in the state, and to make sure, like the citizens groups that have stepped forward and said, we've got concerns with some of this, the infrastructure and the lack of investment that's been happening, but also talking about speed and talking about quiet zones so that the horns aren't going off in these neighborhoods. So, you know, I think that we've had some good discussions, but there's more that we could be doing.
And Alan, you know, Senator Schilling brings up citizens' role in rail safety and how that has been, you know, a component of this conversation. Do you want to talk a little bit about, you know, your group CARS, how it got started and what you guys have really been focusing on recently?
Sure. CARS, Citizens Acting for Rail Safety. We've been in existence now for about 3 years, and it all started about the time that we started seeing these oil trains passing through our communities. And our group now also has other offices in Watertown, Milwaukee, and the Twin Cities. And you know, we have been focusing on a number of issues, both on a state level and a federal level. We have been involved with the legislation that has gone on federally to really strengthen rules and regulations regarding these trains. There's a lot of loopholes out there with regards to the transport of oil and ethanol. And there's other commodities as well that are hazardous that are being shipped by these tank cars called DOT 111s. And so these tank cars are really not good. They really shouldn't be carrying much of anything at this point. They're older tank cars. We refer to them as soda cans on wheels because they're so fragile. And they're carrying all sorts of bad stuff on the rails. So that's been one focus. But we've also focused on other things. And here specifically in La Crosse, we were involved with the double track through the marsh, and we had concerns over what type of environmental problems may occur because of adding the second track and adding more traffic through the heart of La Crosse. And that's the one thing that we've found in communities all up and down the river is that quite often these rail lines bisect the cities. And this is where we get involved with hazmat teams and first responders to figure out what makes sense as far as responding to these disasters. So we focused on a number of different things. It's a multifaceted problem with a lot of issues both at the state and federal level and local levels as well.
Do you think that this issue of rail safety is particularly relevant to people in western Wisconsin, or do you think it's, you know, it's present in all across the state?
It's all across the state. We're focused here primarily on the river and the communities along the river, but quite often these rail lines go through the hearts of cities. In a lot of cases, it's lower income areas, and you know, there's houses right next to these rail lines, you know, carrying these trains that are, you know, carrying over 3 million gallons of oil. And one of these tank cars, which have exploded, you know, is equivalent to 2 million sticks of dynamite as far as the explosive power. So there's a lot of energy in these that could cause serious damage. Matter of fact, the accident that happened in Lac-Mégantic, Canada, which killed 47 people, that same train came through La Crosse, came through Watertown, came through Milwaukee. So these are issues that involve all parts of the state. So we just can't focus on one particular area.
And Senator Schilling, I see you nodding your head in agreement. Do you think lawmakers across the state are really paying attention to this, not just in western Wisconsin?
I definitely believe that they are. Like I said, I think we could be doing more. We had several pieces of legislation that were introduced and didn't get hearings or get through the legislative process this year before we adjourned. But as was indicated, I mean, these trains are going through all communities throughout the state. And so it could just be a matter of time that, you know, a derailment will happen in northern Wisconsin, southeast Wisconsin. And so I think all legislators can recognize that they have rails that are going through their communities, and citizens are asking for safety. They're asking for heightened awareness about what if, and to understand sort of what are the plans that are in place. But again, they are also asking that the railroad company have some ownership on this as well, and looking at their infrastructure. And as we look across the state, and you know, the trespassing issue, which really kind of came up here in western Wisconsin, where people wanted to cross the tracks, and they were able to do that prior to a law change that they had the right to access without penalty for fishing and hunting and backwaters. And when we had, you know, a couple of hearings a couple of weeks ago in Stoddard and DeSoto, we had someone from Waukesha, Wisconsin, that traveled to be there and say, this is not just a western Wisconsin issue, that in central Wisconsin, you know, we have got fish and wildlife land and DNR that is bisected with the rail, and that there are citizens across the state that want to be able to cross the tracks safely and be able to enjoy the outdoors, and if it's ice fishing or trapping and things like that. So I think there are several of us in western Wisconsin that kind of stepped forward because it was literally here in our backyard. We were seeing things happen. But there is a broad interest across the state with lawmakers about this, these rail issues.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you mentioned the trespassing issue and the idea of citizens wanting to cross the tracks in western Wisconsin to get to the river, but in other areas. I mean, where do you stand on that issue? Is that something we need to be looking at, possibly adjusting the regulations on?
I believe it definitely is. We have over 200 miles of Mississippi rail and the backwaters that are right next door to each other here on Wisconsin's west coast. And for generations, people have been crossing the tracks safely to be able to find that favorite fishing hole, take their kids and grandkids fishing. And not everybody has a boat, not everyone has a means to get out and get onto the water, but that the shoreland fishing, but then ice fishing and things like that. And so I think it was 2005, 2006, legislation was signed, and there was a change in it that then changed sort of the right that people had to trespass, to cross safely for hunting and fishing. And now recently the Burlington Northern and other rail companies are enforcing it, and they have hired their own law enforcement and security details that are driving up and down the 200 miles, and they are seeking out, looking, watching when people get out and they cross. We have over 100 designated crossing points, but sometimes where people want to fish, it's not that designated crossing point. So I have not heard of tickets being issued, but warnings have been given, and conversations have happened, kind of drawing people's attention to it. And so it really has kind of become one of those hot issues here in at least in the Senate office that we've had a lot of contact on from constituents that they are concerned about this access and working with the rail company to figure out doing an inventory of where their current crossings are, where those hot spots are as well, and if there are some additional crossings that can be put in. But kind of the root of the problem really is, and citizens said loud and clear at the two listening sessions we had in Stoddard and DeSoto, that you can't put in enough crossings. And we'd like it to go back to the old law, the way that we could, you know, cross safely. And we had that right. Of course, the rail company and others are very concerned about safety and point to unfortunate deaths and suicides and things that have happened on the rails. But then the hunters and fishers and anglers point out that those were people that unfortunately were desperate. And they ask for, well, where are the statistics of people that are, you know, hunting and fishing in the outdoors, people that are being hit? And the statistics kind of demonstrate that people are safe, they cross, they want to enjoy the outdoors, the conservation. And so if we can try to get back to that old language that permitted it, I think that's how many people here in those communities along the river and who enjoy our outdoors feel that that would really be the best resolution. We had Sheriff John Spears from Vernon County said, look, if anyone is ticketed in my county and they're not spending a night in our jail here in Vernon County, because it's common sense. We need to have more common sense as we look at policy changes and implementation. And so that's kind of the feeling that I think many people expressed, that we need to do maybe education, and if it's in hunting education for rail safety crossings, but really common sense should win at the end of the day when it comes to access.
Yeah, Alan.
Yeah, you know, one point I'd like to make is that it would be refreshing if the railroads, instead of passing out citations, would pass out invitations to fix the problem. You know, this isn't just about legislation. This is about the railroads. The railroads have increased the amount of traffic, mostly hazardous materials, through the area. So they need to own up to this, too. This isn't just about changing legislation. This is about the railroads, who have increased the amount of traffic, to come out and actually help with solving this issue.
And Chief Cleveland, I would be interested to hear your perspective on this issue.
Well, it certainly is different. I mean, I have seen the railroad industry put a lot of time and effort into this under the guise of safety. And yet, when we talk about responding to the number of train derailments that occur, the environmental damage that happens, they tout their safety record that that's not going to happen. Obviously, I'm not in a legislative area, but I would almost think that this has more to do with liability cases than it does to do with safety. That would just be a personal perspective. And again, are we treating the symptom, or are we really treating the root cause of the issue? And to me, you know, we're only treating a symptom here, and a lot of people are paying attention to this, with no disrespect to the conservation people, but this small little piece over here, while the big issue of safety goes unaddressed. And, you know, the issue, I'm a hunter, I'm a fisherman, I have crossed those tracks. I agree with Senator Schilling. I believe that, you know, we've done this for a number of years, we've done it successfully. There really isn't a problem that we're trying to fix. And I would much rather turn the attention from the issue of railroad crossing to, okay, let's address the issue of unprotected crossings. For example, where we don't have gates, where you don't have proper islands to stop people from going around the gates. I know, you know, in participating with Senator Baldwin in discussions with this issue in Minneapolis, that, you know, Minnesota has a significant issue where they have unprotected at-grade crossings. And to me, I think we should be addressing the issue of at-grade crossings both here in Wisconsin as well as Minnesota, because to me that's that represents a much higher risk to the public than it does for a fisherman like myself who wants to cut across a set of railroad tracks and sit along the river and enjoy.
That's La Crosse Fire Chief Greg Cleveland here with us today to talk about rail safety issues. Also joining our conversation is Senate Minority Leader Jennifer Schilling and Alan Stankovitz, a member of CARS. You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. And Senator Schilling, also part of that those listening sessions that you hosted in DeSoto and Stoddard recently were Railroad Commissioner Yash Wadhwa. What were some of the things that he expressed that he wants to focus on as far as rail safety?
Well, I was pleased that he accepted the invitation to join myself and a representative from Fish and Wildlife at these two hearings. Commissioner Wadhwa lives in Milwaukee. He is a civil engineer. He was recently appointed Railroad Commissioner by Governor Walker. And so for him to come across the state and kind of see the quality of life and the environment here of railroad and use by citizens of the outdoors and natural resources in the backwaters, I think was very helpful. And we had over 175 people at the two different listening sessions. And I think he heard loud and clear people's continued desire and the important value of enjoying the outdoors and what it means for economic reasons, economic development, tourism. We had some small business owners who are in the tourism industry with restaurants or bed and breakfast and motels and said, people are concerned that they come to western Wisconsin, they won't be able to access the backwaters and the river. So, I think he took a lot of information with him. He has that role to kind of work with Burlington Northern and the other railroad companies on the infrastructure, but in the safety is really what his office is charged with crossings around the state. And while time didn't permit it, I certainly hope he can come back here. We can kind of get out there and he can actually see where some of the concerns are and the hot spots. But I think he took it was a very good representation of a lot of people's comments and thoughts. We had representatives from CARS that was there to talk about some of the rail safety and the issues. And when he stopped by my office because the Senate confirms governor's appointees, I brought up those safety issues as well. And so I think that he's had some good dialogue with representatives here in western Wisconsin and is aware of the different legislation that's been introduced by Senator Vinehout and myself and Representative Billings on rail issues here. And certainly, there's a time frame working with the Burlington Northern that I hope we can have some sort of resolution. The legislature is not in session right now, but I said these issues are going to continue to exist, everything from the access to the need for training and working with our small communities and emergency response staff on what they need for resources. And so next session, when we get back into session, certainly thinking that we'll introduce these pieces of legislation again and hope for hearings and discussion so that we can kind of move the needle on many of these issues.
And Alan, like Senator Schilling said, there were representatives from CARS at those listening mm-hmm. sessions. What were some of the things that they brought back from the event?
Well, I think it was pretty much what Senator has already spoken about, that there's a lot of, I guess, frustration on the part of the hunters and the fishermen and the people that use the refuge. There's also a number of people just, as far as tourists and photographers. I am a photographer, so I speak for them as well. These are issues that, it's our right to have access to this river, and for these people not to have that right is the part that really brings home this issue, and we have to come up with some meaningful solutions to it. And I think if I remember correctly, the sheriff had stated that no one would spend time in his jail if there was such an incident where the railroads would arrest someone. So I think the majority of the people that attended the meetings were all in favor of finding a way of getting around this issue, because it just seems ludicrous that you wouldn't have access to such a great resource in our area.
That's Alan Stankovitz, a member of Citizens Acting for Rail Safety, here with us today to talk about rail safety in the Cooley region. Also joining us today is Senator Jennifer Schilling and La Crosse Fire Chief Greg Cleveland. Coming up, we'll continue our conversation on rail issues in the Cooley region. You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. To hear audio archives of today's show, visit our website, wpr.org/newsmakers. Our site also has archives of other past editions of Newsmakers, and if you'd like to share comments or make suggestions for future shows, you'll find links to our producers and staff. That and more at wpr.org/newsmakers. For updates on future shows, links to our archives, and more, like us on Facebook at WPR Newsmakers. From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, this is Newsmakers. I'm Hope Kerwin. Today we're talking about rail safety in western Wisconsin. Over the last few years, increased rail traffic throughout the upper Midwest has sparked concern among lawmakers, first responders, and the public. Joining us to talk about these concerns are Senate Minority Leader Jennifer Schilling, Chief Greg Cleveland with the La Crosse Fire Department, and CARS member Alan Stankovitz. And Chief Cleveland, you know, earlier you mentioned that a lot of the burden for emergency response kind of falls on local communities. Do you, you know, wish there was a more coordinated response to these sorts of emergencies?
Well, I think from a coordination stand, I guess I would kind of rephrase that and make it more of an advocate for rail safety, focusing on the issue of emergency response. And, you know, I think that's been one of Wisconsin's downfalls. It's pretty evident when you look at and compare Wisconsin with other states. I mean, for example, Minnesota, they have the Office of the State Fire Marshal. All fire-related issues go directly to the State Fire Marshal, and policies are spread out. Wisconsin, you don't. You're dealing with DOT, you're dealing with the Wisconsin Emergency Management, you're dealing with Department of Professional Services, you're dealing with the Agricultural Department. And it's such a fragmented approach to any issue of safety in Wisconsin that the system in itself, the structure in itself, does not lend to a culture of safety here in Wisconsin. And I think that's really reflected in you know, the communities that are along the river that have to fend for themselves. You know, the railroads, many of the cities and towns were built because of the railroad. So they're centered around it, like we talked earlier on about, you know, the railroad going through the heart of the city. A lot of people have grown up for generations with that railroad there, and they've become almost immune to what goes through there each and every day. And I think that's part of the issue that Alan raised, and the fact that, you know, more hazardous materials moves through Wisconsin now, and through these environmentally safe areas and through our communities than at any time before. And I would argue that our preparedness in terms of responding to that has gone in the opposite direction. And again, it requires regionalization. It requires, you know, trained people, specialized equipment. And it's this issue of sustaining it. For example, in La Crosse, we're coming to the end, where after this year, the training comes to an end. And that doesn't mean that there aren't going to be new methods of transportation. There's going to be more hazardous materials. And we've gone through this flash in the pan of responding because there was a lot of community concern over it. But now, as things tail away, all of that cost is going to be dumped back onto the taxpayers. And, you know, that's a problem. And how do we sustain this level? And I can tell you that experience to me is that, you know, the public doesn't want excuses about you weren't trained, I didn't have the right equipment. They want to know that if there's a derailment, that their property is protected, they're going to be safe, the environment is going to be protected. That's just the society we live in today. And it's going to be far from the truth. And each one of these train derailments demonstrates that. I'm telling you from 38 years of experience, you know, no one ever told me I didn't get there fast enough for a fire. you know, or told I should say, you know, I should have taken more time to get there. People want these things taken care of. They expect them taken care of. And they don't want to hear excuses from the first response community.
And Senator Schilling, I know that in this past session, you helped sponsor a legislation that would have created more, you know, training opportunities for local responders. You know, what's kind of happened with that? What happened with that legislation, and you know, what are you looking forward to in the future?
Sure, AB 552 was introduced by Representative Jill Billings in the Assembly and over in the Senate. It was myself and Senator Lassa, Senator Vinehout, and Senator Petrowski, who is on the Transportation Committee. So it was a bipartisan bill over in the Senate. And it was really modeled after rail safety legislation in Minnesota. It would have provided for more track inspectors. It would have required the railroad companies to submit prevention and response plans to the state. Would have provided training for local emergency first responders along railroad routes, provided guidelines for coordination and response timelines in the event of a derailment, and required the Railroad Commissioner to submit a report to the legislature on emergency preparedness and assessment of training needs for first responders statewide, and inventory both public and private resources available in the event of a derailment, and offer recommendations to the legislature to improve preparedness and safety for our citizens. So kind of tagging that office with, again, that the master of disaster of should something happen here in Wisconsin. I would also like to point out that our colleagues at the federal level, that they have also taken a keen interest in both Congressman Kind and Senator Baldwin have introduced or supported legislation at the federal level. That Congressman Kind authored the Crude by Rail Safety Act, which would have prohibited those cars, the older model DOT-111 tank cars, from being used and to upgrade those. And Senator Baldwin, she co-sponsored legislation that would address safety concerns that have come forward with the increased traffic of trains carrying the crude oil. Both of those have passed the Senate but were stuck over in the House. And I know in May of last year, the federal government instituted new regulations on the transportation of flammable liquids that are designed to improve safety standards and improve information sharing. So it really is, you know, it's a coordination of state, local, and federal resources and policymakers bringing this issue to the attention of those who need to be making some changes, advocating for changes, and again, sort of finding those stakeholders at all levels to put forward plans that ensure safety and training and the preservation of access to our natural resources.
And what kind of roadblocks were you experiencing to this legislation?
We ran out of time this spring. The legislature adjourned in March, and so was not able to have a hearing in the state Senate on the rail access issue that passed the Assembly but got stalled in the Senate. Also, language had been included in the state budget last year about restoring the right to cross and have access, and the governor vetoed that out of the last budget, and that was what sort of was precipitated individual language for a bill being introduced to do that. So we'll take another run at it next session if we don't have resolution, but we need to continue on some of the bigger issues of safety and training that we'll continue to monitor that with budgets that are coming out and looking at Wisconsin emergency management and preparedness and what their budget is as we go through the next state budget.
And Chief Cleveland, did you have something to add?
Yeah, I guess as long as we're talking about legislative, you know, I certainly would encourage Senator Schilling as well as the rest of our representative in the La Crosse area to really look at a more fluid and more updated process for dealing with hazardous materials. Currently, right now, our response is set up on state borders. All of our state statutes for liability protection are based on geographic boundaries on the map. And we live in a marketplace today where La Crosse is the central city for Minnesota, La Crescent, not to mention that, you know, we're not here to protect La Crescent per se, but the railroads run up and down the river. We are their closest hazardous materials team. And I think, you know, for us to sit here and stare across the river at a derailment and then wait for the product to come across the river for us to be able to take action really doesn't make a lot of sense to me. You know, there are high-level agreements, what we call emergency assistance compacts, a sophisticated mutual aid, but they all require governmental, the governor's approval. And, you know, they're very cumbersome. And our closest partner in hazardous materials happens to be Rochester, Minnesota, not Eau Claire. And, you know, I look at this issue as why are we not working with someone who's closer? Not that we shouldn't work with Eau Claire, but our hazardous materials team runs from south of Prairie du Chien all the way up north of Alma. And there's a lot of territory for us to protect, and you know, not to mention interstate highways and things like that. And you know, if there's a train derailment, we should have the same legislative protections to respond to help mitigate it and prevent it from coming to into Wisconsin if it's across in Brownsville, Minnesota, La Crescent, Winona, any of those areas. And again, it gets back to, you know, I think our system of government is set up on boundaries, and it really should be set by service areas. And we really should be looking at that as the next generation of our emergency preparedness and response. And currently, right now, it's a very cumbersome system. And when the Brownsville derailment, they called directly to the fire station and said, "Can you come?" And, well, you know, we got to have authorization. We just can't go. And we never ended up responding there because, again, it would require Minnesota Emergency Management to call Wisconsin Emergency Management, give us authorization to respond, because, again, we can't put the city of La Crosse and Wisconsin taxpayers on the hook without authorization or the legislative protections that are provided to us. So I really think we need to take a look at this issue from a legislative perspective in terms of service areas.
You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. Today we're talking about rail safety in the Cooley region. We're here with La Crosse Fire Chief Greg Cleveland, Senator Jennifer Schilling, and CARS member Alan Stankovitz. And Alan, did you have something to mention about the service area idea that Chief Cleveland has brought up?
Yes, in more of a proactive approach than talking about we're reactive approach. I mean, we've till now have been really talking about the reactiveness if there is a spill or disaster. But in a proactive stance, I'd like to bring up that the neighboring states of Minnesota, Iowa, and Illinois all have state rail inspectors that are part of an FRA program. Wisconsin does not. And especially now with the change of product that is being transported through Wisconsin, a lot more hazardous materials, it would be nice to see legislation in Wisconsin that would actually bring more inspectors on board, because the FRA does not have enough inspectors to do the job on a state basis. They have a number of inspectors that are part of the Chicago region, which includes Wisconsin, Illinois, and Wisconsin, and Minnesota, and Iowa. But the problem is that they don't have enough people. And so they have a program where they will train inspectors on a state level to supplement their inspection process. And because, you know, a lot of these issues of derailments occur not so much because of human issues, although that did happen in Alma, but a lot of cases it's the infrastructure, it's the rail lines. Quite often the rails break. And these are, we need more inspectors is what we need to really be able to tackle this problem. So it would be refreshing to see Wisconsin step up to the plate and add more inspectors.
Do you think that nationally the conversation has been more about reactions to rail safety rather than being preventative?
It has been, absolutely. And yeah, every time I see this, I mean, it's great that we're doing all this training, but why not prevent the problem before it occurs? And there's a lot of different ways that things could be changed. For example, if we just look at the oil trains themselves, the oil that is being pumped out of the ground go directly into the tank cars. They're not in any way refined. So there's a lot of dissolved gases, very volatile. And what we'd like to see is the petroleum industry refine the oil before it goes into the tank cars, making it less volatile, so we don't have these huge mushroom cloud explosions. And that is something that certainly could be done to prevent a lot of the issues. The other part is, though, is the DOT 111s, the tank cars that have been used. We are making progress, both at a federal level through the Department of Transportation new rules that came into effect a year ago, as well as the FAST Act, which is Fixing America's Surface Transportation Act, actually closed some loopholes so that we're going to be phasing out these tank cars that have been part of the problem. So, but unfortunately, we're looking till 2025 before all those tank cars are taken out of service. So it's much too slow, and we need to have that ramped up faster. And then there's other commodities besides oil and ethanol that we're just not paying attention to. There's been plenty of examples of hazardous materials that have spilled out of these DOT 111s that will continue to do so because we're so focused on just the crude oil and the ethanol. So we need to broaden that out. But we are making progress, and CARS has been working with the DOT and FRA and other groups to really hopefully get things done to make our rail lines safer.
And Chief Cleveland, did you have something to add?
Yeah, you know, I do have to agree with what the comments that Alan brought forth. But the other thing I think that's kind of different about La Crosse as to most other communities is when you really look at the Mississippi River, the transportation, it has an added twist. And the reason being is we're the largest city, I think, probably on the Mississippi in Wisconsin. But it is also under the jurisdiction of the Coast Guard and the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. And there are so many state and federal partners that have so little resources to bring. For example, we've seen in the derailment that we had in 2007 that down just south of Goose Island, technically that is a Coast Guard. They are responsible. But they have so few resources to bring, and yet they're either based out of St. Louis or they're based out of Minneapolis. And, you know, the La Crosse Fire Department, our hazmat team, is the one who has to take charge of that situation until those resources. So there's a lot of oversight that really is non-existent. But the one thing that was encouraging is when we did have the full-scale exercise recently where we actually put boom in the river and we worked with the Minnesota Office of Pollution Control, we worked with Fish and Wildlife, DNR, and there was just a lot of people there that really were out of their element. And that's not to their detriment, it's just that, you know, they're not first responders, but yet they have legal responsibilities. And when we got them out of the offices and we got them onto the river, it was an extremely windy day, very cold outside. We had trouble putting boom down because of the waves on the river. And I think it was a good illustration of the importance that when all else goes wrong, you need to have a solid response. And you need to have relationships built. So that when I meet somebody for the first time, I'm not going through this game of sorting out, well, what do they have? Who are they? What authority do they have? You know, and that's the value of this constant interaction and training, because, you know, to my knowledge, I mean, where else do you have that in Wisconsin?
Both Chief Cleveland and Alan have mentioned, you know, looking to other states, looking to our neighbors who are also faced with this problem for ideas about how Wisconsin can improve, you know, their preparedness. You know, are those conversations happening at a state level?
Well, I think some of the legislation that we've modeled off of Minnesota, Representative Billings had met with administrators and officials in Minnesota with the legislation that she introduced AB 8552. But of course, we live in a very regional area. And as I talk with my colleagues, when they, you know, we say that our region extends beyond just the Mississippi River, that we do economic development in a tri-state area, we do education and healthcare in a tri-state area, and certainly in, you know, just jobs in the economy. Really, we need to look at sort of the regional beyond the Mississippi River for economic impact. So this is no different, and as was pointed out, if something happens on the Mississippi River, you know, you're not going to say, well, it's only right up to the line of the middle of the river, and then we're done, and Minnesota, you need to figure it out, and we'll call you if it starts to seep over into the Mississippi, the Minnesota portion of the river. And so that regionalization and cooperation really is key. And I think we do it well on many fronts here in Western Wisconsin. And again, that's the voice that I like to bring, a point of view saying, look, we need to also look at other states and what they're doing in the cooperation and, you know, the Corps of Engineers and Coast Guard and others, that it is kind of unique here, all of the players that we have, both federally, but then with other states involved as well in their agencies.
We've been talking with Senate Minority Leader Jennifer Schilling, La Crosse Fire Chief Greg Cleveland, and CARS member Alan Stankovitz about rail safety in the Cooley region. And that's Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. The executive producer for Newsmakers is John Gatto, and our senior news editor and producer is John Davis. If you missed part of today's show, you can find the audio archives at wpr.org/newsmakers. Our site also has archives of other past editions of Newsmakers, and if you'd like to share comments or make suggestions for future shows, you'll find links to our producers and staff. That and more at wpr.org/newsmakers. For updates on future shows, links to our archives, and more, like us on Facebook at WPR Newsmakers.